Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by talking with General Paul Valley. He's been involved in a lot of things, and we're not going to let him get away with just talking about a few things. Then we'll talk with General Chris Petty about the Battle of the Month. Of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show retired Army Major General Paul Valley. He's been a senior military analyst for Fox News. Like me, he's a West Pointer and served in Vietnam. He retired in 93 as Deputy Commanding General Pacific Command. In 2004, he co-authored a book, Endgame, The Blueprint for Victory in the War on Terror. And he currently serves as the chair of the Stand Up America. So welcome to the show, General.
Well, thank you, Danny. Happy to be back with you again.
Paul, start by telling us about your time in the Army. When and why did you want to go to West Point? What were some of your favorite assignments once you graduated?
Well, I grew up in a small town north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, called Dubois. And at that time, when I was a junior and senior, I was looking for scholarships, and we didn't have a lot of money. So I put in for the academies, and my senior year in high school, I was accepted at West Point, graduated in May of 57, and went into West Point July 2nd, just about a month later. So 32 years, went into the infantry, Ranger School, Airborne School, and my first assignment was with the 505th Airborne Battle Group in Mainz, Germany. Then from there, I went to Vietnam, back to Vietnam again, and last 20 years, I've been involved in special operations for the Pentagon and for the commander of the Special Operations Command. And then I was with Fox News for 8 years as well as their senior military analyst. Now I'm the chairman of the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. And the website for that is standupamericaus.org. So there you go.
Yeah, we want to talk about that, but one of the topics that you have talked a lot about in the past is the way that our military has dealt with the COVID thing, the mandatory shots, even after we found out they were damaging some people. And I guess the only reason that they stopped is because they were ordered to and didn't have any choice. Give us your perspective on how the military handled the COVID thing.
Well, they handled it terribly, and they should have realized early on you had a very big population of healthy young people and even the middle-aged and members of the military. And so they were basically following the faulty information coming out from the CDC and from the White House. And they didn't have enough courage to stand up, even when you had members of the military and the medical corps, such as Colonel Teresa Long, who was saying, you know, and she was an aviation medical doctor. And she said, I can't vaccine these pilots because these are experimental drugs and it's going to affect the pilots. And of course, what we see today are pilots that have died. One pilot couple, I think last month, he came down with a heart attack 6 minutes after he landed in Dallas. But the military did pick up and they're just following. They're all woke, these generals and admirals. I'd fire every one of them today. And we still see a pressure to get everybody vaxxed in the boosters. They just can't seem to back off and get it. They bought into this whole fraud on experimental drugs. And they've really, I think, have assisted in with the members of the military now being very susceptible to myocarditis and maybe some other effects from the vaccines and boosters. We haven't seen the final results of those boosters and vaccines.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Paul Valley because it is truly an experimental one. So we really don't know what the outcome medically will be 5-10 years from now.
Right. And they made the cadets at West Point. And that was one of the reasons many of the cadets said, no, we're not getting vaxxed. And they released them. They released them from Annapolis, from the Coast Guard Academy, and then at the Air Force Academy as well. And they wouldn't bring them back on, by the way, after they made them resign released them from the academies. So it's been horrible what these young people have gone through.
And this doesn't make sense to me. I understand the whole nation responded sort of goofy the first 5 or 6 months when this hit. But then we started sorting things out. What really bugged me was that anybody who requested a waiver, even a religious waiver, the answer was no. I mean, it was apparently there was no processing.
That's a violation of the First Amendment.
I'm not sure if I had been on active duty and somebody had applied for a religious waiver that I could have told them, no, with I won't even accept it. And if you submit it, I'll punish you. But I know that happened a few times. That's not leadership by my standards.
No, it's not. And it follows, if you study the Nuremberg Codes of 1947, that it's illegal and to do that on experimentation on anybody in any population. But they didn't care if they violated the law, Denny. And they continue to violate the law today. Our justice system is totally corrupt and dismantled. So they have no honesty and integrity in the system anymore. And it's permeated through our entire government.
You know, I think what we're both saying is that the country that we grew up in and fought to defend, that country's not around anymore. There's only vestiges of it left. And we got to do something.
That's exactly right. You see what they've done at West Point. They made them dismantle, tear down any kind of relics, statues from the Civil War, like General Robert E. Lee. I lived in Lee Barracks. And then the class of 61 raised over $1 million to put in the Reconstitution Plaza there at West Point. And it reflected many of the past generals who served in the Confederacy. But as you remember from your history, we had brothers and cousins. Some fought on the side of Lincoln. Others fought on the side of Lee. The Union Army versus the Confederacy. And so they want to dismantle all of history, Denny. These people have to be removed. We've got to take over this country and stand up finally. I'm tired of it all right now, and I'm sure you are and your listeners. Let's take back this country. Stop these left-leaning ideologues from dismantling everything that we've built up over the years.
I agree. And when we go to the Civil War, the culture in America was different then. People were much more loyal and identified more with their states than with the national government, which is right. Why people fought to defend their states, not necessarily their national government.
Right.
That was exactly. A pretty honorable thing to do.
Exactly. But we want to tear that apart. You know, they passed some legislation, I think maybe down even in Texas earlier, that they don't even provide any history, say, before 1900.
Goodness gracious.
So they've gone to transgender training, critical race theory, teaching all these left-wing social studies that are tearing our students apart. And they're not getting back to the basics of history, mathematics, science. That's why we're lagging so badly in all of those on a national basis and international basis. But our high schools, the scores in that are just terrible, especially in our cities.
But we use proper pronouns. That's important, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there's more to discuss about our military and our nation, and General Valley can stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back. Troops, if you ever have to defend yourself or your family with your firearm, you'll need legal representation. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. They provide the best self-defense insurance that I've found. They recommend that you not even talk to the police without an attorney present. They provide unlimited attorney coverage as needed at a very reasonable rate. Check uslawshield.com, uslawshield.com, and use the code FRONTLINES. That's one word, FRONTLINES. You'll be glad you did.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Paul Valley about a lot of things that's going wrong with our country today, that it's not the country that we fought to defend. Paul, one of the things you mentioned coming in and that I know about you is that you are very much involved with in running Restore America. And we really do need to restore America. Start by talking to us about what its mission, purpose, and how it functions.
Well, over the past year, the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, and that, by the way, was founded by Lieutenant General Tom McInerney and myself in 2006. But with all the publications, content we put out over TV, radio, articles, and so on, the feedback we get from the people, well, you've analyzed all the things, but where's the leadership to take this country back? We know we can't depend on the politicians to do it. So our team at the foundation put together a plan as a follow-on movement to America First called Restore America. And we formed the Citizens Commission to Restore America. And under that, we have specific plans, directives that we sent out already to the governors, to the legislatures. We now have a new directive out to targeting the Department of Defense on the invasion of America, that in fact, the Defense Department is taking no action to do away with the cartels, who are damaging and killing more people than we lost in World War II.
You know, that's a very valid point. Our southern border is, we're being invaded and we're doing nothing.
Absolutely. Fentanyl and, of course, the cartels, we know where the 5-6 are located down there in the Sinaloa region, the Zetas and so on. They totally control the border now. They control the Mexican government, but yet we're doing nothing about it. So we go in depth on all of those type of issues. We've done over 20 exposés on the Chinese Communist Party, for example, and you can find all of these on our website. But the movement is taking off throughout the country. It's a grassroots movement. We've recommended also that each county establish their own Patriot Guards, which basically would be people that the sheriff can deputize, especially to assist the police in crime-infested areas within our cities and towns. We need citizens to stand up and take this country back, and that's what Restore America is about.
Well, that's true. And it's, well, I think a lot of citizens realize we need to do that. An awful lot of people that I've talked to said, but what do we do? How do we do it?
Right.
And Restore America.
We've given them, Denny, a military plan, basically, of what they have to do. And we put that out all throughout the country. I've just sent you information on it as well.
That's good, because we need a plan. People need somewhere to go to find out what to do and how to do it in a coordinated way with other people. And if that's what you're providing, I mean, I don't want to spend the whole day talking about everything that's wrong with America. There is all kinds of things wrong with America. We're still a great country, but we're losing it.
But yeah, we have to do it soon, Denny. 2023 is critical. And we've seen the fraudulent elections. We've seen the Communist Party of the Democrats, as we call them. We see the Manchurian president, who is Biden and Hunter Biden on the payroll of China. And so you have a totally corrupt Justice Department, a totally corrupt FBI, CIA. I would close the doors on the FBI and the CIA tomorrow and reopen them with a new charter. But they're totally corrupted, Denny.
You know, my father's brother was an FBI agent, and I'm sure he's rolling over in his grave. I want to believe that the majority of the FBI agents are good people, but their leadership clearly is
evil. Well, they're all politicized. But you know, Denny, I don't let them off the hook. If they're in the ranks of the FBI, they know what's going on. They know they're violating the First and Second Amendment. And when they have to track down parents at school meetings, they're complicit. I don't care where they are in the FBI chain. They're complicit with the leadership. And that's exactly what the Nuremberg Codes, if you go back 1947. Well, if you're an officer, you're still complicit with what's going on within your chain of command. And if they're violating the law, then you are complicit. So I really don't take them off the hook, Denny.
Well, you know, I understand that. And since my mother is a German Jew, I know very much what you're talking about. Yeah, we just killed those Jews because we were ordered to do so. No, that's not true. And I think that applies to somebody told me to abandon all that equipment in Afghanistan to include American citizens and Afghans we'd promised to help. So I just obeyed orders.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's what the whole movement of Restore America, across the board, justice system, what's going on within our military. And that's we'll be providing a directive every 4 weeks to the American people to follow. And I'll be happy to copy you on that.
Please do, because that's the thing. We need to work in a coordinated way. And everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. And it's our responsibility to take actions to hold people accountable. That hasn't changed.
Well, it is our responsibility, because it is a country of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's the way it was set up. These people in Washington work for us. We don't work for them, but yet they take all of our money. And look at the billions that are being fraudulently. We have no idea in Ukraine where all of this money's going to, because they're not auditing that money. And we know the oligarchs over there have pocketed, including Zelensky, a lot of money that we've sent over there for aid. Totally misdirected.
That's a very good point. I totally support helping Ukraine, but we need to monitor where that money's going. I know that, as you just pointed out, most of it, we don't know where it went. We just sort of shipped it over there and never followed up.
Look at Iraq, Danny. Look at Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. Billions of dollars. And we don't know where half of it went into. We know it was pocketed by a lot of different people. Same thing again we're doing. And this is bankrupting our treasury. What are we, over $31, $32 trillion in debt now? And they continue to spend our money, not theirs.
Yes, sir. And it's our grandkids and their kids that have to deal with that debt. And that's a very, very good point, Paul. We have to stop this out-of-control spending and this out-of-control throwing money away. You can't give money to third-world type countries and expect that there's not a lot of corruption, because there is. It's part of the culture. So you've got to watch it to see where it goes.
Danny, did you see the release out of New York City last week? They basically contracted the multi-story Holiday Inn, and they're charging $190 per room per night, which is about $100,000 a day, for the migrants to stay there. And they're going to put them up in other hotels. So not only do we have 305 getaways that have crossed the border in the last month, but they're in these cities now. And guess what? They're on the payroll of the cartel, some of them. They're organized in every city to distribute drugs, sex trafficking, and so on. That's how organized the cartels are, and that's why they need to be taken out. Listen, General McInerney and I and General Boykin, we could do a special ops mission. We could take the cartels out of action in 7 days. They're done.
I believe you. Paul, you've given us a clear call to action. It's time for everybody to figure out what you can do and start doing it. One more time, how can people plug into Restore America?
Yeah, go directly to our website. Everything's based off of there. It's standupamericaus.org. Make sure you put in the U.S. standupamericaus.org. Help us out. Donate. We do a lot of great things, and you'll be on our team. And that's what we want you on, the Restore America team. Danny, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Paul, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for your service on active duty, but thank you for what you're doing now. I'm proud to be working with you to save our country. God bless you, brother.
Thank you very much, Dave. We'll do it again.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty, then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice, then take a break, but stay in the area. I want you right back.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Welcome, brother. I always enjoy our talks and I learn things.
Yes, well, I enjoy them too, Danny. It's just great to be able to talk about great American battles.
Indeed, because we've got a bunch of them and most of us don't know much about them. And I thought I did until I met you and I found out how little I knew. So learning's a good thing.
It is.
Okay, Chris, start with a quick review of your time in Mother Army.
Okay, I like you, I went to West Point and I branched aviation. So I did a lot of aviation things. Obviously, I'm an old guy, so I flew a lot of UH-1s, but Blackhawks for most of my life. And then did normal command stuff, company command and battalion command. Got very fortunate, took a battalion to Iraq. Not the Iraq we're going to talk about today, but the Iraq later on. And the battalion did well there. So that actually created some other opportunities for me. And lo and behold, I'm before I know it, I'm a general officer doing interesting command in NATO and staff stuff at the Pentagon and NORTHCOM and just a fascinating, interesting life. And managed to even have four well-adjusted, good young men, you know, even out of that turmoil with a wonderful wife. So it was wonderful.
Wow, that means you and I have something else in common. We married well above ourselves.
Yes, apparently so.
The Battle of the Month is Desert Storm. I was out retired from the Army when that happened, but I had written a bit of the battle, if you want to call it battle, the maneuver before it called Desert Shield.
Yeah.
Okay, take us to Desert Storm, Chris.
Okay, so Desert Storm, all Americans have heard of it. This is why I think we should all know this battle is... It was a very impressive display of modern U.S. military power. I mean, it was a lopsided fight. It took less than 100 hours. It was this new, all these new technologies for the United States, the M1 Abram, the Apache, the Black Hawk, the new infantry fighting vehicle. So it was like the coming out party of all this great new technology, stealth bombers, stealth fighters, stuff like that, cruise missiles. And it was really overmatched. So it was just fascinating from that perspective. Also, it was one of the largest battles America has ever fought, land battles. It was over 500,000 U.S. troops, counting, you know, all the services. So it was impressive in scope. And, you know, historically, this is the battle that restored pride in the military after the long shadow of Vietnam, you know, where America was questioning its competence as a military. And this really was the turning point. And kind of on a personal note, I use this battle as kind of like the last win, you know, quote, win for the U.S. I mean, we did this battle right. We gave the commander in the field the appropriate guidance and authority, and it actually was a win. You know, we haven't done that for a while. So I think it's fascinating from those things. You agree?
Absolutely. It was that turning point. It was phenomenal to watch. And unfortunately, it didn't set us up for future wins, but hopefully we're moving there now.
Yeah, exactly. So here's a quick overview, and I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'll just kind of breeze through it. So this is Saddam Hussein versus General Norman Schwarzkopf. So those are the big players. So Saddam invades Kuwait in August of 90 on trumped up charges of the Kuwaitis are stealing oil and slant drilling into his oil fields, etc. And George H.W. Bush, who everyone remembers, leads this really impressive international coalition to get things rolling quickly to get Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. Players like Margaret Thatcher were involved from Britain. So some big names in history. And it's just a wonderful example of coalition building. I don't think you could pull it off today with the UN Security Council, but this was right after the Soviet Union's collapse and China wasn't yet a belligerent in any way. And so it just worked. So Saddam basically is with the assumption that the U.S. and the coalition doesn't have the stomach for this thing, and they're just not going to follow through. So the first phase of this is Desert Shield, which you talked about. And you had a little hand in writing the war plan for Desert Shield, which was very successful. So as the international community and the UN is doing things and Bush and Thatcher are doing great things, Desert Shield on 8 August launches with the 18th Airborne Corps departing and setting up a hasty defense, basically, where Saudi Arabia meets Kuwait, you know, at that line to basically prevent Saddam from further advancing south. So that's happening. It's impressive. Second phase going to be the offense. So Schwarzkopf briefs Colin Powell in October while, you know, and then it's his plan is approved and it takes massive force. So you got 4 months of moving forces from Europe and America into the desert. Now, meanwhile, the UN Security Council basically is issuing the ultimatum: withdraw by 15 January or force will be authorized to kick you out of Kuwait. So then the deadline passes. Then comes the air campaign. Apache helicopters lead this thing, you know, taking out radar sites, Tomahawk cruise missiles, the F-117. You got 5 weeks of massive bombing of Saddam's positions. And even with all this, Saddam doesn't withdraw. He's still convinced the U.S. doesn't have a stomach for a major land battle. So the ground campaign starts. This is Desert Storm. It begins on 24 February. And it's a brilliant plan. Schwarzkopf really has this nice operational concept where he places very active forces, 2 Marine divisions, the Saudis, a U.S. armored brigade directly south of the positions in Kuwait that Saddam has defended and has built up defenses. And he creates this what's called the left hook. So he sends the 18th Airborne Corps and the 7th Corps west out into the desert just days before the battle in what's called the Hail Mary, which kind of means I'm sending all these forces to the west into the desert and I hope Saddam doesn't realize that they're going there because this is my surprise. And it just works out well. So this battle is set to begin, and it is this massive rolling of armor across the desert. This left hook works so well, traps the Iraqis, cuts off the roads back to Iraq and their lines of retreat, and they are just pounded into submission. So it's a rout.
It sure was. And our troops worked well, all kinds of allies helping us.
Yeah.
But it was really a U.S. war with a lot of allies helping us, a lot of Mideast allies.
Yeah, it's very significant. I mean, the Egyptians, the Syrians. I mean, can you imagine the Syrians today, pitching in forces for a coalition of U.S. Led, is amazing. So, yeah, the Brits, the Saudis, the Egyptians, the French. I mean, it was really a masterful example of modern coalition warfare. And of course, it was led by the Americans with, 90% of the combat power.
But we won, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And that's why, as I said earlier, it kind of restored the whole pride in the military, demonstrated these new technologies were decisive. I mean, it was kind of a jaw-dropping thing for our potential enemies across the globe. When they looked at the results of this thing, they went, I guess I'm not going to buy any more of those Soviet T-72 tanks. they don't even know when they're targeted, and all of a sudden they're destroyed. It was just a new kind of war.
It was indeed. Chris, thank you for those insights. You offer some really great insights into history, military history in general, to people who are interested. Talk about that opportunity that you give to people.
Yeah, I in my retirement, I am now passionate about sharing the not only summaries of history, because I think it's so important for Americans to know this stuff. And I'm not talking about all the details in the 300-page books. I'm talking about summaries like we just talked about. So I put together a publication called Battle Digest. And I really hope your listeners would at least go look at the website, which is just battledigest.com. Just one word, battledigest.com. And see what I have to offer, because there's nothing like it out there. It's simple, concise, beautifully done, maps and pictures. And it's just a great way to learn U.S. history.
It is indeed. And it's accurate. Chris, thank you. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform and for being a great part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm proud to be working with you, brother.
Thanks, Denny. Thanks for your service as well. And it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Until next month, bro.
Okay.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble with getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. That's PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? And once your ranger ready, then stand at ease.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please do send me your comments at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Colonel, Navy vet and Army dad Harold was impressed and saddened by the report of our woke military. He had hoped that it wasn't that bad, but it is?
Unfortunately, you're right, Harold. It's bad.
Quincy is not a vet, but he's very interested in concerned veterans for America and is glad he can get involved even though he's not a vet.
Quincy, you'll find your decision to join them a good one. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's the first one?
Well, on 24 February 1836 in San Antonio, Texas, Colonel William Travis issued a call for help for the Texan troops defending the Alamo, an old Spanish mission and fortress under attack by the Mexican army. An Alabama native, Travis moved to the Mexican state of Texas in 1831. He became a leader of the movement to establish an independent Texan republic. When the Texas Revolution began in 1835, Travis became a lieutenant colonel and was given command of troops in the captured city of San Antonio de Bixar. On February 23, a large Mexican force under General Santa Anna arrived. Travis and his troops took shelter in the Alamo, where they were joined by volunteers led by Colonel James Bowie. Though Santa Anna's 5,000 troops heavily outnumbered the several hundred Texans, Travis and his men determined not to give up. Santa Anna ordered his forces to launch a siege. Travis sent out requests for reinforcements. Only 32 men from the nearby town of Gonzales responded, and on March 6, Mexican forces stormed and took the Alamo. The Texan troops lost, but killed at least 600 of the enemy. This brave defense became a powerful symbol for the Texas Revolution. At the crucial Battle of San Jacinto in April 21, 910 Texan soldiers, commanded by Sam Houston, defeated Santa Anna's army, spurred on by cries of "Remember the Alamo." The next day, after Texans captured Santa Anna himself, the general ordered all Mexican troops to pull back behind the Rio Grande River. On 14 May 1836, Texas officially became an independent republic. Don't mess with Texas, Colonel.
Amen, brother. And on 20 February 1942, during World War II, Lieutenant Edward O'Hare took off from the aircraft carrier Lexington in a raid against the Japanese position at Rabaul, and minutes later became America's first flying ace. In mid-February 1942, the Lexington sailed into the Coral Sea. The Lexington's mission was to destabilize the Japanese position on Rabaul with a bombing raid. Lexington ship radar picked up a Japanese bombers headed straight for the carrier. O'Hare and his team took off, piloting Wildcats. In 4 minutes, O'Hare shot down five Japanese Betty bombers, bringing a swift end to the Japanese attack and earning O'Hare the designation Ace, and he was awarded the Medal of Honor.
And on 22 February 1942, President Franklin Roosevelt ordered General Douglas MacArthur out of the Philippines as the American defense of the islands collapsed. The Philippines had been part of the American Commonwealth since it was ceded by Spain after the Spanish-American War. When the Japanese invaded China in 1937 and signed a treaty with fascist Germany and Italy in 1940, our response included strengthening the Philippines. General MacArthur was called out of retirement to command 10,000 American Army troops, 112,000 Filipino soldiers. The day they bombed Pearl Harbor, the Japanese destroyed half of the American aircraft in the Philippines. Amphibious landings of Japanese troops followed. By 2 January 1942, the Philippine capital of Manila fell to the Japanese. MacArthur was ordered to leave for Australia, where you will assume command of all U.S. troops. You know, Colonel, I didn't realize that he was called out of retirement for that command. That is probably not what he expected.
No, but then again, he was living in Japan, so he had to know things were getting
convenient.
Bad. Yes. And on 23 February 1945, World War II, the bloodiest battle for Iwo Jima, the U.S. Marines took the crest of Mount Suribachi, the island's highest peak and the most strategic position, and raised our flag. A Marine photographer recorded the event. American soldiers fighting for control of Suribachi's slopes cheered the raising of the flag, and several hours later, more Marines headed to the crest with a larger flag. A photographer recorded the second flag raising. The Japanese had constructed an intricate system of underground tunnels and fortifications that withstood the initial Allied bombardment. So during the first day, 30,000 Marines had established a solid beachhead, but our Marines advanced inch by inch under heavy fire from Japanese artillery and suffered suicidal charges from their infantry. By March 3rd, our forces controlled all three airfields, and on March 26th, the last Japanese defenders were wiped out. Over 6,000 Americans died taking Iwo Jima and 17,000 wounded.
And on 24 February 1991, after 6 weeks of intensive bombing against Iraq and its armed forces, U.S.-led coalition forces launched a ground invasion of Kuwait and Iraq. On 2 August 1990, Iraq invaded Kuwait, its tiny oil-rich neighbor, and within hours had occupied the country. 1 week later, Operation Desert Shield, our defense of Saudi Arabia, began as U.S. forces massed in the Persian Gulf. 3 months later, the U.N. authorized force against Iraq if it failed to withdraw by 15 January 1991. At 4:30 Eastern Standard Time on 16 January, Operation Desert Storm, a massive U.S.-led offensive against Iraq, began as fighter aircraft attacked. Desert Storm was conducted by an international coalition under the command of U.S. General Norman Schwarzkopf and featured forces from 32 nations. During the next 6 weeks, the Allies engaged in a massive air war against Iraq's military and civil infrastructure, encountering little resistance from the Iraqi military. On 24 February, a massive ground offensive began, and Iraq's armed forces were rapidly overwhelmed. By the end of the day, the Iraqi army had folded. After less than 4 days, Kuwait was liberated, and a majority of Iraq's armed forces had either been destroyed, had surrendered, or retreated to Iraq. On 28 February, President George Bush declared a ceasefire, and Iraq pledged to honor future coalition and UN peace terms.
Of course, Iraq didn't honor them, but that did end the fighting. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, an older woman was attacked and carjacked in front of her Garfield Heights, Ohio, senior living facility in the middle of the day last week. The 71-year-old woman was walking to her car when she was approached by a younger woman. When the younger woman got close, she ran towards the elderly resident, punching her in the chest with one hand and grabbing her car keys with the other. The older woman struggled with her for a few seconds, afraid for her life. The attacker left her lying on the pavement and stole her car, her purse, and her cell phone. The victim was not seriously injured, and the criminal hasn't been caught.
Thanks, Colonel. I've noticed the past few years that there's been an uptick in retired women taking my concealed carry classes. I like that trend simply because older women are the most vulnerable among us and are in dire need of more protection. The problem is that many of these women are now single or their husbands are also older and weaker with less ability to fight back when attacked by younger adversaries. One thing we have to do as we age is to admit that we can no longer fight off attackers with our bare hands. It just isn't feasible anymore. We need the advantage that a pistol can offer us, and it's foolish to walk around unarmed knowing that you are a prime target of violent crime. Many women simply refuse to own a gun because of the social stigma or because they've been trained to think guns are evil and more a danger to the owner than the criminal. But that just isn't true. Now more than ever, our elderly need to train and arm themselves. But what handgun should they carry? That's a good question, and one gun doesn't fit all. So let's look at some guidelines. First, consider how much recoil you want to handle. A .38 Special revolver is a great self-defense gun for close quarters combat, but most are very lightweight and pack a huge amount of recoil, making many women afraid of them. In general, you should choose the highest caliber that you can safely and accurately shoot. For a 71-year-old woman, that might be a .38 Special, or it might be a .22 caliber. Everyone is different. Some of us have weak hands and little upper body strength, or maybe arthritis or even carpal tunnel. If that's true, then you need a gun with a lighter trigger press and less recoil. I understand that is an optimum as far as stopping power goes, but look at it this way. All of us are forced to make adjustments as we get older and weaker. At age 71, we put in extra handrails. We're on more medications. We now have glasses or hearing aids or hip and knee replacements. If all you can shoot safely and accurately is a .22 caliber revolver or semi-automatic handgun, then don't hesitate to do so. .22s stop a lot of crimes in this world, so just be proficient with whatever gun you carry. After all, when you point the .22 caliber gun at the bad guy and he's looking down the barrel, the hole in the muzzle magically appears bigger. The number one rule to a gunfight is this: bring a gun. Frontlines of Freedom wishes all our listeners who are capable of being trained and armed to do so. After all, just because you're getting older doesn't mean you have to be defenseless.
Well said, Skip. Amen. Our movie of the month is The Silent Child. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate getting your comments about it. Send your comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Colonel Grant Newsham will join us to discuss China. Then Dr. Lou Gaston will share about his time in the Army as both a PA and a chiropractor at the same time. Then we'll hear about how Fifth Third Bank's Military Resources Group serves the community, and we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase this book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud, Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.